of Titus, if you'd like to turn there, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And we will be blessed by being reminded of all the wonderful things God has done for us through our salvation in Jesus Christ here in Titus chapter 3. We'll start in verse 4 together. The Bible says, "After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." So I'd like to entitle it, "He shed on us abundantly." Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of assembling. Many people around the world still cannot, and we are thankful that we can, and that we can come together in fellowship and worship You corporately and open Your Word together. And we ask now the Holy Spirit would use the Word in our hearts, each one, to speak to us, to change us, to convict us, whatever the need might be. And Lord, we ask that the service would bring You glory and that You would guide us in Your truth. And we ask all this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you thankful that our Creator is a kind Creator? You know, the Creator of the heathen is, they're always mean, the gods of the heathen, but our God is kind. He was so kind that He sent Jesus Christ to die for us and rise again for us and offer us eternal life. And that's what this passage really is about, is all these wonderful things that God has done for us because of who He is. Because He's kind. It says, after that, the kindness and love. And, of course, His kindness and His love are very intertwined, aren't they? It's because of His love that He showed such kindness to us. But God's kindness is amazing. It's great. We're told in Psalm 36, 7, "How excellent is Thy loving kindness." Our God is a kind and loving and merciful God. His kindness, we're told, if you go to Isaiah 54, 7, that His kindness is everlasting. Hallelujah for that. Isaiah, go to 54 and look at verse 7. And it's because of God's kindness He has offered us salvation through Christ. Notice Isaiah 54 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I've hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Now He's specifically there talking to His people Israel, that He's saying He will never forsake them, that He's never finished with them, and that one day they will receive the wonderful kingdom they've been promised for thousands of years. But our God is kind. And it's because of His kindness that He has done all these wonderful things for us that we read about in this passage. But our salvation, as we know, is not something that we can earn. Look back at our passage, Titus 3, verse 5. Very important phrase. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." You know, there are many people in the world today that believe that they are going to get themselves to heaven through their works, that they're going to somehow earn a place in heaven by being good or by following a certain list of rules and guidelines. But no, if you are going to stand before Jesus one day and you are going to spend forever with God in heaven, it's only because of His kindness, not because of anything that you've done yourself. It's not by works that we can earn heaven. It's not by works of righteousness. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." You cannot earn heaven. You know, often I talk to people and they talk about, I ask them, I say, "Do you believe you're going to go to heaven?" And they often say yes. And I say, "Well, if you stood before God and He said, 'Why should I let you in?' What are you going to say?" And the answer is almost always, goes back to something they're doing. Well, I try to be a good person, or I go to church, or I love God, or whatever. And they don't stop and think, well, if we can earn heaven, why did Jesus have to die? Why did the perfect Son of God have to go through all that suffering and to suffer Calvary? Why? It doesn't make sense, does it? And the why is because God is kind and God is loving, and salvation is a gift. You cannot earn it. It's not by works of righteousness. Our works do not make us worthy of heaven. We are sinners, and we deserve to go to hell. But this passage focuses on what God has done for us, all these things that He's abundantly shed on us, and we're going to walk through them together. So starting in verse 5, first of all, of course, is our salvation itself. It says, according to His mercy, He saved us. Hallelujah for God's mercy. Hallelujah that God was willing to save sinners. Amen? Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's us. And it's because of His mercy, as we read there in verse 5, God saved us. He saved us from sin. He saved us from the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell. Hallelujah for the mercy of God, that He saved us. And then it says there in verse 5, by the washing of regeneration. Part of our salvation is to be regenerated and to be washed. It's all one package, but when God saved us, He also cleansed us from our sins, which is another miracle in itself, isn't it? Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11, and we'll see where Paul summarizes this for us. But the day that you were born again, and I hope you can all say that you were born again, God cleansed you of your sins. Did you deserve it? Absolutely not. But He did it because He is a kind and merciful God. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God cleansed us. God washed us from our sins. And then we'll look at Revelation 1:5, if you would, quickly. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, where the Bible specifically tells us how we were washed from our sins. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins with His own blood. Hallelujah. We have been washed from our sins. Isn't it sad that sometimes you meet Christians, they've been washed, but they go back into the mud? Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 2. You've been washed from your sins if you're born again. And as he says there, you've been regenerated. Or as he uses the word there in verse 5, and renewed. We have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have been regenerated, which means being born again. And we've been made a new creature. We looked at that last week in Galatians chapter 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's us. God has washed us and God has regenerated us. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, if you would. But God has worked amazing miracles in our lives the day we got saved, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:10. The Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Because of His mercy, He saved us, He cleansed us, and He regenerated us. Praise God. And you know how much of that we deserved? Absolutely none of it. It's because of His kindness that He did these things. It says there in verse 6, which He shed on us abundantly. God gave these things to us as a gift. As we read in the Scripture, He shed them on us abundantly. Our salvation, our cleansing, our regeneration. But He went further. Look at verse 7. Being justified by grace. You know, there is a difference between forgiveness and justification. You think about a person committing a crime, going before the courts, and they decide to forgive the person of their crimes, and they don't have to pay the price of prison or whatever. But they still did it. Justification goes further. Justification, then, God declares us completely sinless, as if we never committed any sins. And on His account, that is exactly what happens. That's justification. It's one of the most beautiful doctrines of salvation, that God has justified us. Go to Romans 3, where God talks about this, verse 24. What He's done is through the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ, God applies that to our account and declares us just. That, by the way, is why we will be allowed into heaven. Because we will enter heaven sinless. Imagine that. As sinful and wicked as we are, we will enter heaven with no sin on our account. Fully justified. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Or verse 23, start there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most of us know that verse. Look at the next verse. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that it is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So what God has done is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, He has declared us just. God is a very kind God. And He has shed on us abundantly His salvation, His cleansing, His regeneration, His justification, His mercy. It even talks about His grace, and we could go on and on. But we're not through. Look at verse 7. God not only saved us from our sins, cleansed us, and made us a new creature, and then declared us sinless. That I'm sure we all would agree that would be enough. Amen? To know that our sins are forgiven and that we get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. But when God does things, God always does things right and abundantly above what we could ask or think. He went further and says there, verse 7, now we're heirs. We're heirs. The Bible teaches that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Galatians 4, 7 says, we're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If you're born again, you are an heir. And the word heir means you have an inheritance. Amen? Let's look at 1 Peter and we'll see what that inheritance is. Well, it doesn't give us the details of the inheritance, but it describes it for us. God's actually left the explanation of our inheritance beyond what we can understand. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. We can't even imagine how wonderful it will be. But here in 1 Peter 1:4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we do know that it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it can't fade, and that it's reserved. Hallelujah. Now Jesus gave us glimpses here and there in John 14 in the upper room with His disciples. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me, and in my Father's house are many mansions. And He said, and I go to prepare a place for you. So we know that much. That Jesus went to prepare a place for us in heaven, and He says there's many mansions there. And we're given glimpses of it in Revelation. If you go to chapter 7, verse 16, the Bible talks about how wonderful it will be, this inheritance that we've been given as heirs according to the hope of eternal life. But notice Revelation 7:16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. And then go to Revelation 21, verse 4. The Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. We're not going to miss the pain, are we? Especially as we get older. Brother Norm says, amen. I've had this sciatica thing for a month now. No more crying. I'm okay with that. No more sorrow. No more death. It's all gone. And God has gifted that to us. We didn't deserve it. He gifted it to us because He's a kind God. And He shed these things on us abundantly. He talks more about it over in Revelation 22. And you can read that. He talks about the... You often hear about the streets of gold. But again, just being able to go to heaven would have been enough. But that's not how God works. He shed on us His forgiveness and His justification, His cleansing, His regeneration. But then He also shed on us an inheritance, which we know is awaiting us in glory. So after sharing all of this with us, that He shed all these things on us abundantly, look what He says in verse 8 of our passage. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now we talked about works earlier and how so many people in the world are trying to earn heaven through good works. And we know we can't do it. We just read it in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But after telling us all the things that God has done for us, He says, if you have believed in God, if you have received all these wonderful things that God has shed abundantly on you, you know what God wants? He does want good works. Not for the purpose of earning heaven, but for the purpose of pleasing Him. And, of course, of making a difference in the lives of others. Most of us, if we were asked this morning to share how they came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, I guarantee you there was probably other people involved in that happening. Someone told you, someone brought you to church, someone wrote a tract, but there were other people involved in you finding Jesus Christ. That's how it works. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what God is saying is, now that God has shed all these things on you, He showered you with all these gifts, what He wants is for us to now serve Him as a thank you, if you will. He's our Lord, we're His servants. He's our Master, He's our King. He wants us to serve Him. Why? To earn heaven? No. We already have heaven. Because we love Him. Because we're thankful and grateful for what He's done for us. And we want to please Him. That should be our motive. It's not to earn something, but it's to say thank you. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:58. I know most of you know it by heart, but there's a truth here. Paul is winding up his book to the Corinthian church. Very confused church. A lot of issues in the church. A lot of division. But he says, therefore, after all these things that I've had to correct you on, Corinthians, the overemphasis in the gifts, the division about different people, their immaturity and their faith, and on, he says, therefore, I want you to be steadfast, I want you to be unmovable, and I want you to be always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. Quit getting sidetracked by all these other things. And I want you to be steadfast, unmovable. And I want you to be abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what God wants from us. That we maintain good works. Because he said in our verse, he says, our labor is not in vain, but he says these are good and profitable unto men. When we serve the Lord with our gifts and with our talents, with our energy, it benefits others. And this is what God wants from us. Look at James chapter 1 now, verse 25. And so as we reflect on all these things, and it's just a partial list of all these things he's shed on us abundantly, God wants us to be careful to maintain good works as a response. Look at James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So whoso looketh into the word of God and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the what? Work. A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. God says that as we look into his word, which the passage is talking about how his word is like a mirror, how it reflects back our own selves and shows the sin that needs dealt with in our lives. But as we look into the word of God, he says, if you'll look in there and you'll continue and not forget what you read, you'll be a doer of the work. And we talked about this on Wednesday night recently. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We're here to work. We're not here to wait. We're not here to be lazy. We're here to work. Matthew 20, Jesus rebuked the people that were standing around idle. He said, go to work. And he did it all day. The people in the morning, the people in the afternoon, even the people in the evening. He said, go to work. And he says it to us, to maintain good works. Because as he says there in Titus 3:8, these things are good and profitable unto men. God wants us to work. He wants us to serve him. Not to earn heaven. Not even necessarily to earn rewards. But because he's been so good to us. And we want to serve him. That's really what loyalty is all about, isn't it? And could there be anyone more kind or gracious that we could be loyal to than our Heavenly Father? So he wants us to show that gratefulness through our good works. You know, that passage we know so well, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Quoted it earlier, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You've been saved by grace so that you might serve the Lord with what time you have left here on the earth. He shed so much on us abundantly, and we just touched on it this morning. He's done so much for us. We did a study recently in Sunday school on all the doctrines of salvation, all the amazing things God did for us the day we got saved. What does God ask in return? Just serve him. Be his servant. Use those gifts and talents he's given you and put them to use for him. Because of all that he shed on us abundantly. Hallelujah. Let's pray.